Just wanted to share a few verses that had encouraged me this morning. Frank encouraged us to read Psalm 51 on Friday night, and I did that this weekend, and it was good. I was definitely, I guess I would say, for those who know, I'm going to read it, but Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance, right? And you can kind of, at times, maybe think that, well, this is a psalm for when I'm repenting and when I'm sort of seeing things I want the Lord to forgive me of. And that is totally true. But I guess I would say, as I read it this weekend, I saw a little broader application of that. And to sort of help you understand what I'm talking about, let's start in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter lays out a really encouraging path of Christian growth. In verse 5, it says, "Now for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's a wonderful progression, and so a good thing to sort of apply to our own lives and see the areas where we want to grow. But the thing that jumped out at me was the next verse. It says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." And I thought that was interesting, that if this fruit and if this qualities are not growing in our lives, if we don't see ourselves on this progression, or if we see ourselves lacking in this progression, Peter points to a few root causes. One of them is being blind or short-sighted. I think that maybe speaks to forgetting the ultimate outcome, forgetting that all of us have been called for a purpose in this life. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So those who are lacking these qualities are not looking ahead in faith, are not looking ahead to the instruction given to us through the word about what really matters in this life. So you can be blind or short-sighted looking forward. But the also thing is, another reason you may be lacking these qualities is because you've gotten forgetful. You've gotten forgetful about the forgiveness we've received, about what has been done for us in purifying us of our sins and how great of a thing that is. Maybe you haven't even forgotten it, but maybe you've just taken it lightly. Maybe you've come to a place where you're pretty thinking you're on your walk, and some of the things you used to do you're not doing anymore, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself, which is good. I don't want people to be discouraged, but maybe you can be in a wrong way, and that it diminishes or causes us to forget all that Christ has done for us. And I think that it gets even maybe more relevant as we continue on in our walk, as we continue on in our faith. We don't want to come to a place where we forget about the purification that has come, about the forgiveness we have received. And ties in, we had communion last week, and a little bit of communion is some of this. Like, we're supposed to remember the Lord's death. We're supposed to remember what he's done for us and the forgiveness we have received. And this, to me, is a good warning that says, you know what? It's not to be taken lightly. I need to have that perspective. I need to recall and be, even however many years down the road it is, we need to have a remembrance of what has been done for us and the purification we have received. So with that sort of thought, let's turn to Psalm 51. So with that in mind, I was just reading through this psalm and reading through some of the heart attitude of David, and it was really encouraging to me, and it was bringing me back to remember what I've been purified from. And I think you got to start this psalm, too, with the right perspective. David's in this psalm repenting for adultery and murder. But be careful that you don't discount what he says because you say, I've never done that. Because in God's sight, we all have sinned and fallen greatly short of the glory of God. So don't discount what David's saying because he did a really bad thing. And maybe I haven't seen myself this way because I didn't commit adultery and murder. Because God's desire, and he wants us to know, and if we forget, part of that could maybe even be you haven't seen how great our purification is. If we discount what's said here because it was a man who committed adultery and murder and don't realize that our purification is just as great. Maybe that's the clearest way to say it. Our purification and what we have been forgiven of is just as great as what David is forgiven of. And we need to have that perspective. We need to remember that, and we need to know that. And then I think that helps as we start to read through some of these verses. It says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions." So where does it start with David? It starts with believing that God is good, and God is compassionate. And that's the attitude David has. David has done some horrible things. And what's more, he's had it pointed out to him very clearly. I don't have time this morning to read through what Nathan said to him and how David got the revelation of how evil what he had done, how evil all he had done was. But his attitude in that is not to discount what he's done, but his first thought in his purification and his cry for forgiveness is that God is kind. God is compassionate, and I'm going to plead to God on that grounds for forgiveness. And I think all of us have to remember that that is the very same grounds through faith that we had to come to our Heavenly Father and say, God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of all the evil I've done. And remember that he's compassionate. And don't forget that, because that's part of repentance, part of knowing the kindness of God. That's part of the reason why we need to remember our former purification, because we need to keep that right perspective. If you look at David's life, we have the testimony that David was a man after God's own heart. And even in this story, I don't know when he wrote this psalm. My heart is that it was very close to when when Nathan had rebuked him and he repented. But I don't know the exact time sequence, but we know in the midst of all this, there was consequences. Right when Nathan talked to David about the sin, he said, David, he said at the end of it, you're forgiven. But he said, David, the sword is not going to leave your house. David, there's going to be some pretty difficult things that are coming your way because of what you've done here. And what's more, the child that Bathsheba was bearing died. But what was David's attitude in all of this? God, you're gracious. You're kind. I know there's consequences for what I've done. But what's more, I am still going to plead, because there's a far worse consequence in any of these things that you've described to me. The far worse consequence is that my sin not be blotted out. I need your forgiveness, Father. I need you to blot out my sin. And I know you're compassionate. I know you're kind. And we also know throughout David's life, there's a story of David when he numbered the people, when he did the census, which was against God's will. And he was given three choices, and I can't remember the other two. One was like pestilence, there was like attack from an army, and there was three things. Two of them were exterior, people coming in and doing harm, and the third was a judgment directly from God. And what was his attitude? Give me the judgment from God, because I know there's consequences for what's coming here, but I also know God is compassionate and kind. Let me fall into the hands of God, even when I've done wrong, even when I've come up short. Let me fall into the hands of God. So even through all of this, through all the difficulties in David's life, and even when the Lord disciplined him for these things, he had a foundation of knowing that God is gracious and kind. And we need to have that attitude too. When difficult things come in our life, that's part of the remembrance of our purification from our former sins, is to remember that God is gracious, compassionate, and kind. Irrespective of what's happening today, irrespective of the difficulties I'm facing today, let's not forget of the great forgiveness that God has given us. Let's not forget of how much he's done for us, how he's purified us of our sins, and that he is good and he is kind, irrespective of what circumstances or what the enemy may be trying to tell us to believe. And then the next verse, verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. And I had to reflect on that, and I can say it. I can look back on my life and say there was a point, and there's been points, where I had to cry out and say, God, wash me thoroughly. I'm not looking for a cleaning up of the outside. I'm not looking for a change or a forgiveness that somehow forgives me for the stuff that everybody else can see. Father, I'm looking for forgiveness that is thorough, that goes to the core of who I am, because I am a sinner. I am and was a rebel that needed to be forgiven. And I need forgiveness that goes thorough. And I ask you that, and I say, remember that for those, and I hope you can remember that. And if you haven't, maybe ask the Lord for a little more revelation on what he's done for you. Because it's important that we realize that we need a thorough cleansing. That what Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness we receive is thorough. And it's a big deal for us to come before a holy God, to come before the throne room of grace, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, is because we've had a thorough cleansing. Every single sin has been forgiven. You think about that over the course of your life. Before you came to an initial repentance and coming to faith, and even after, our forgiveness that we came through Jesus Christ is every single sin. For me, it's everyone. It's drunkenness before I came to the Lord, and it's short words to Maddie last week. Every single one of them has been forgiven. And we need to not forget that. We need to not forget that it is a thorough cleansing. And that's David's attitude. And this is, you start to ponder on these things, you start to get a remembrance of how much he's done for us. And it helped me personally not be forgetful of what's done for me. And he says, "For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." David had a very clear understanding. His sin was ever before me. He was in a place where he was realizing, like, all I can see is that I need to be forgiven. He was desperate. He was desperate to be forgiven. His sin, it was never leaving his mind, this sin that he'd committed. And he was like, "God, it's always before me. I need you to forgive me. I can't go on. I can't think of anything else right now other than how much I need you to forgive me. It's ever before me." And praise God, we don't have to live in that state, but it's good to remember that if we didn't have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, if we didn't have his blood, if we truly knew, if we truly had a right perspective on this life and all the judgment to come and how God is holy, our sin would be ever before us. We would not be able to think about anything else other than how can I get rid of this sin. But praise God, he has forgiven us. He provided a way that we could be forgiven. But it's okay to remember how seriously David took it, how much it was on his mind, how desperately he needed this forgiveness, and how great a thing it was when he received it. He says, "Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." And read that verse in the context of this story of the child dying, of a sword not leaving his house because of this. Because there's other things that were said by the prophet. I read it this morning. I was actually surprised. I didn't even remember how severe some of the things that were said to David. I'm not going to get into them here, but David, when he heard these things, because he realized how much he needed to be forgiven, because he realized how thoroughly sinful he was able to say, "God, I have sinned against you, and you are just when you judge. You are blameless when you speak. All these things that you've said about me and all these things you've warned me that are coming, I don't hold those against you. I know you're merciful and compassionate, and even in these things coming are coming, you're merciful and compassionate, and you are justified when you speak, God, and you are blameless when you judge." And that is a speaking to a right understanding of who himself. It's a speaking to a right understanding of who he is apart from the forgiveness of God, that he is nothing, that he is desperate for God's forgiveness, and God is right and he is wrong. Any other thoughts of why he might have been justified in what he did or making excuses or anything like that, He just puts him in the dust and said, "God, you are justified when you speak, and you are blameless when you judge." He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." What is he saying there? Again, he's referencing how he sees that his sin goes to the core of who he is. It's from the start. "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." It's speaking to a fallen nature. It's speaking to all of that. Every one of us inherited a nature from Adam that's like, it's to our core. And David was realizing that this is deep. This sin that is inside of me that I need to be forgiven of is deep. It goes to the very start, the very beginning of who I am. And Father, I need you to forgive me of it. And he contrasts, he said, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. He's saying, God, I know what I am. I know I am sin to the core, but I know what you want. I know you want truth in the innermost being, and you want wisdom in the hidden part, the very core of who I am. And he says, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. When you read the previous verses and know the context, this is amazing. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I shall be clean of murder. I shall be clean of adultery. Name your own. I already said it, so I'll say it again. I shall be clean of drunkenness. I shall be clean of all the mocking and the foul mouth and the lies and the poison that came out of my mouth. I shall be clean of all of it by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I shall be whiter than snow at the outcome. All of it gone. Even the ones I can't remember. Every single sin purified, wiped clean, white by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And we ought not forget that. We need to remind ourselves of what has been done for us, the forgiveness we have received. And it'll help us. It'll help us have perspective on difficulties, on trials, on wrongs done to us by others. All of it, it's broad how this can help us. And we need to have or remember that. And we need to call it to mind and remember how much has been done for us. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have rejoiced, which you have broken, rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities, all of them. Blot them out. Take them away. Forgive me of them. And create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. It's an awesome promise to realize that each one of us, by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we have repented, if we have by faith asked for his forgiveness, we have it. We have a clean heart. We have a clean heart. We have been made whiter than snow. And it's just, today I was just reminded, it's not something for a sometime back then testimony or something like that. It's something to remember today, what he's done for us and how miraculous and deep and thorough that is. Like how amazing it is what has been done for us. And not to lose sight of that, because as I read in 2 Peter, our growth and maturity and growing into the promises that are laid out there in 2 Peter of starting in diligence and ending up in love and all the steps in between, some of that hinges on not forgetting what's been done for us. Not forgetting how compassionate our Heavenly Father is. Not forgetting the sacrifice that Jesus made. Not forgetting what the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for. And not forgetting how thorough it is. Not thinking lightly of the lives we've lived. Not thinking lightly of the sins we've committed. But realizing they are significant and they are grave and they are serious. But by the mercy of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ, every single one is forgiven. It's an awesome thing. It's very good to remember. And I was just encouraged this morning to seeing how this psalm is not a psalm for sometime back then when I repented. It's a psalm for remembering and reflecting on today for what he's done for me and how thorough it is and how miraculous it is.